hey, this is Hannes from Storyworthy. I just wanted to thank you for listening to the show. And listen, the very best thing you can do for us, tell your friends. Send them a link to storywiththepodcast.com and say, hey, you should listen to this. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do.
This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy's offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. So whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Don't forget, you guys, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout, and you are supporting this podcast.
Hey, it's Deanna Barone, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Sherwood Intermediate School, where I went to the 7th and the 8th grade.
It was only two grades in the whole school?
That's why it was called the Intermediate School. There was 1 through 6, then they built a separate school for 7 and 8, and then the high school was 9 through 12.
Yeah.
But Sherwood Intermediate School sounds like you're intermediate, like there's something, like this is special. It just happened to be something we called. It's a big round building, as you can see, built in the probably the 60s, and it's very dated. It's a very dated building. But I had many terrible, terrible memories here of people. Our topic tonight, the reason we've driven all our mobile van all the way to Wisconsin, as usual, besides it being a great place to be, you should go to Wisconsin whenever you go on vacation, is our topic is bra bullying.
Bra bullies.
Bra bullies.
And it's brought forth by storyteller Deanna Barone. And so that's why you automatically went to middle school.
Right. Not because of the bra part. That there was
but,
no
that was a
bras,
lot of bullying.
But bullying. Yeah, I think I was not, I don't know, I was not bullied much as a kid. I was mostly ignored.
Right.
Just, if I guess that's
like a
form of bullying.
Yeah,
it's like very passive-aggressive bullying. It's like, we don't even see that you are here.
Right, right.
I'm trying to think of other bullying on occasion. I had one guy once. No, not really. People just didn't even know I was alive.
Well, I went to Pine Junior High School. We called it a junior high school. You know what I mean? And it was 7, 8 and 9 at that time.
Yeah.
So it's like
I heard of this when I was in school and I thought you were weird and I was
some are junior
normal.
High school, some are or middle schools, but they're all the same.
Yeah, and then there's high schools that are only like 10, 11 and 12, right? That seems very strange.
That seems strange too.
Yeah, that does not seem right.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of bullying in my school and I hate to say that I was on the side of being bullied and then I bullied and then also I was on the side of being bullied. So I had it both ways.
I think that might be most people.
Probably.
I mean, it's
Really crazy, and it's hard to see as an adult. Like, now that I have a child, it's hard to think that she'll go through that sort of, you know, the meanness that
yeah,
children
it's
can
like
show
I
her.
The thing that it makes me think of is my parents and their complete lack of social skills now that I look back on it, and their complete lack of being involved with not only me, but with like other parents. Like, you have parents that you're friends with or friendly acquaintances with that your daughter knows their kid.
No, right, I know. We
and
have a community of
my parents didn't do that.
I know, but in the 70s, that's the way it was. We were like all latchkey kids. And in the 80s.
You're saying your mother did not have any friends that were the friends of your parents?
No, okay, she didn't. So my mother didn't have many friends at all, actually.
Right.
But my point is that, you know, it was a different time. Now, like, I'm in a parenting community where each child is treated like a Fabergé egg. I mean,
yeah, eventually that's going to bite us in the ass, too. Cause
I mean, and we are all so involved. And where I live in Silver Lake, it's older parents. So it's a lot of moms and dads in their 40s.
Yes.
And they're kind of really treasuring the time.
But the
that
kind
they have.
Of, just so people around the country know, the kind of parents who say, you know, 40 is the new 30. It's those kind of hipster 40s.
That's parents. Exactly that's right. And you resent them, and that's okay.
I don't resent them.
You do.
I think that 50 is the new 49.
You're going to have to say that in like 5 years, you know, because you're like, what are you,
I'm a
what
thousand
are you,
years. I'm 60. I'm going to start telling people I'm 62 so they go, God, you look good.
I tell people I'm 50 now. I just walk around saying I'm 50 because I'm going to be.
Yeah, eventually.
No, I'm going to be very soon.
What, 2 years?
Something like that.
Two and a half years.
Nothing. That's like a
No, I understand that. But I think you're on the right track because you want people to go, oh, you look great.
Yeah.
Like Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Although Helen Mirren.
She's 89, as I understand.
Helen Mirren.
I know, you love her so much.
Oh, my God. I'm not the only person who sexually is attracted to Helen Mirren.
So anyway, our story tonight, Bra Bullies, it is about bullying. And I wanted to tell
you a short story. It sounds
very girl-oriented. Well, no, it's about all bullying, you know. And it's come to a different, obviously, a different light in the last few years with all the different types of bullying that are going on. And also the fact that, you know, like Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, you know, the kids that carried out the Columbine High School massacre, those kids were bullied. And, you know, that kind of all of a sudden changed everybody's perception of what's going on.
Yeah.
And now more and more, you know, people are looking at these kids that were bullied, like serial killers are frequently bullied through direct and indirect methods. It's children.
I mean, I know that that's true and I believe it. But I also I'm thinking of the recent case in Waukesha. Suburb,
yeah,
not too far from where we are right now. Those two girls who say that they stabbed their friend because of the narrow man or skinny
man
or what, slender man, excuse me. It's like, you know what? No, those kids are crazy. Crazy adults. Those kids, if they didn't ever see that video, they would have seen something else. Like, there's no.
I don't know, Hannes. They're saying, I mean, that particular story, they're saying those two 12-year-old girls had very stable households at home and nobody would have seen that. I don't know.
There's no way that a sane 12-year-old – look, I was as fucked up a 12-year-old as there is humanly possible. And if you think I never thought about being violent toward people, you would be incorrect because I was filled with anger. But I never did anything because I'm not actually crazy. If you are 12 years old and you stab your friend, there is something fundamentally wrong with you. And whatever you're blaming it on is the thing that you happen to have come across.
Right.
I mean, years and years ago, I remember hearing that it was like some kid got shot because they were recreating the scene at the end of Dirty Harry. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the movie's fault. But it's not the movie's fault.
Well, obviously.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
Well, in this particular case, it reminds me of that movie Heavenly Creatures with Kate Winslet. And it's years ago now, probably in the late 90s.
Kate Blanchett?
Kate Winslet.
No,
she was much younger. No, the other girl, I can't remember, but anyway, the point is it was in New Zealand, and it was those two young girls that became best friends and very close in one another's lives,
yes.
And then they killed one of the girls' mothers. They put a brick in a pantyhose, swung it around her head, and killed the mother.
Yeah.
Heavenly Creatures. It's a great movie.
No, actually. I've heard of it. We're getting
Melanie Linsky is the other actor.
Melanie Linsky is the other actor.
Yes,
I just thought of that. That
actress.
Note did not come from our guest.
An incredible
whose mic
actress.
Is off.
Anyway,
I
these are
figured
extreme
it out.
Cases of violence. Let me just tell you
yes,
my
you
own
tell me
bullying.
Some more. Tell
because
you,
let me tell you
some bullying story.
Once you hear my bullying, you're going to be like, those Columbine kids, that was nothing.
Right, exactly.
I'm kidding.
Let's hear
that
it.
Was a joke. I don't need any mail about that. Although if you do want to email us, folks,
what,
you can
too
feel
soon?
Free.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play?
Feel free to email us at info@storyworthypodcast.com.
Yes,
info@storyworthypodcast.com and follow us on Twitter. You know, as long as we're
sure.
pitching things.
Let's take
at Storyworthy.
The murder of many children and use it as an opportunity to
at
pitch our social media.
Listen, when I was in seventh grade, there was a girl and I, Denise Bender. She was very popular. I guess I was sort of popular. And then she – I don't know what happened. She was a heavier girl. I never bullied her whatsoever. She was very – I thought we were kind of like our equals, as it were. And then she somehow decided that I was trying to be competitive or something. And she got everybody in the whole school to wear their hair like mine the next day. I didn't know it was coming. And the way I was wearing my hair at the time was in a little ponytail on the side via a la Chrissy Snow from Three's Company.
If you could see what I'm seeing, you'd see
so
that it's the greatest
the
hairstyle
side.
In the world.
And yeah, it's almost like Jody from Family Affair, but that was more one – or no, that was Sissy. The point
Are
is,
you sure you're not 70? Jody from Family Affair?
Sissy.
The fuck kind of reference is that? Jesus.
1969 is on the phone.
It's 1969. 1963 is on the phone. I want to go to the moon and watch Family Affair. Thank you, Mike Kennedy. You know, kids
what?
Love
it
a good
was,
Kennedy.
I think it was in black and white, and that's definitely an old show.
I think
show.
It's one of the shows that's so old it started in black and white and went to color.
Yeah, that's old.
It's like
– Okay, so Denise Bender, back to my problems.
Whore!
Back to me Denise Bender, she
got everybody
gets everybody
with
to wear my hairstyle. So I come to school the next day, and everybody in the school has their ponytail on the side like that. All the boys, all the girls, and some of the teachers. And on the bullet and on the chalkboards in everybody's room, it says it's Christine Blackburn Day. Okay. And I was fucking devastated. And I, like, fell to my knees, and Chris Blahut, who was my best friend at the time, later became the valedictorian. The year following, went to Ohio State University, got hit by a car, and died. Chris Blahut. This girl, my angel at the time, picks me up off the fucking hallway outside of Mr. Pilot's science class, takes me to the office, and there I have to sit with the guidance counselor until they call my mom at the floor she worked at, and then she had to come pick me up.
Hmm.
I was so devastated.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And the teachers, Mr. Corsetti, had a ponytail in his hair. So?
That's extreme. That is devastating and weird.
Wow. And that just, brought the room down,
that was,
man.
Yeah,
sorry
I know.
About that, you guys.
No, no, no.
Listen,
we
being
were,
bullied
we were
is
warned
no fun.
By Deanna. She said, "Our, you know, my story is not all fun." I'm like, oh, don't you worry. We can go.
We'll
we
bring
can,
it down.
We can hit the ground with the best of them. Who needs a Prozac?
Well, anyway, so, you know,
yeah,
I'm
no,
just
that
saying,
sucks.
Like,
that's
like,
you know what? I just realized
day,
that what that made me think of is that here's the kind of fucked up kid I was. I used to worry and imagine that somebody would do something like that to me.
Yeah. But nobody ever did.
Nobody ever did.
Did you have hair in high school?
I did. Wow. Really? 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 That's what you're lashing out at me, Mr. Minetti, at fucking Italian teacher with the hair on the side of his head? You know, maybe if you didn't go to school in the
Mr.
70s, Mr. Corsetti, whatever. Yeah, Italians are all the same. Too much? Too much? No. So, yeah, it's like I used to worry that that would happen. So actually, it's like it happened to me and but it didn't actually happen to me. You know what I mean? Like subconsciously you take it in, but it's just weird to me. Yeah, but that – I mean, so did you ever get an explanation as to why everyone went along with that?
No, I didn't.
Of course not. Why?
No, I didn't know. Of course not. Nobody talked then either. Like nobody talked you through it. The guidance counselor didn't say like, how are you feeling now? He just said, where's your mom? You know, she's at the
yeah,
Shadows
was,
floor.
He's like
so –
he's got a Pall Mall cigarette hanging out of the side
oh my
of
gosh,
his mouth.
Used to be
and
these...
he's like, hey, where's your mom? He's got a he's got a scotch bottle out. He's like, listen, I got – it's 3 o'clock. I got to have some scotch.
Do
I can't do it till
big,
your mom picks you up.
The big square ashtray. They would be on the desks of like the principal office,
yes.
the guidance counselor. They all have those big square ashtrays. Everybody smoked. Bullying is the subject tonight. I also wanted to mention there's so many different kinds of bullying, right? So we were just talking about, I guess you would say, childhood bullying.
Yeah, that
but
would
there's,
be sort
there's
of...
cyberbullying, right?
Yes, that's a new thing that I find that I think that that is probably much. Not worse, but more prevalent. I mm-hmm. think that people who do not have the balls to actually be a bully in person definitely have the balls to be a bully online.
Listen.
Like even, no, we
you
see
don't
our
think
reviews,
I've read those iTunes
right,
reviews.
You see reviews where they're like, the people on Storyworthy should be burned at the stake. This is the worst fucking show in the world. I've listened to 48 episodes and I hate every single one of them. Really? Yeah, and it's like they're all horrible people and they're stupid. It's like
if everybody that hates us listens 48 times,
you would
I'm in.
Never, ever say that to a person's face.
Right.
You
it
would
is
never
strange.
Say it. And it's like so in high school I can only imagine the kind of bullshit that kids are going through. Facebook. Well, they're probably not even on Facebook. Their parents are on Facebook. They're on Instagram and Twitter and
Snapchat.
Snapchat with the 5-second naked videos. I said it was 6, and Christine goes, "No, it's 5." Grandpa.
There's parental bullying. Have you ever heard this, Hannes? These are parents who displace their anger, insecurity, and their persistent need to dominate control upon their children in excessive ways.
Yeah,
and then what happens is,
parenting.
You know what they do? But they produce children who then turn into becoming
like
overly aggressive and controlling
children.
Toward their peers, of course.
Well, Sherry, my lovely fiancé, is teaching a class that's ending very soon, and there's a kid in there who's like, he's just out of control because his parents are out of control. And it's like, it's sad and frustrating because you're like, what the hell are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Probably going to get a podcast.
Maybe if you could take the kid out of the house and give him nothing but therapy for 20 years. I don't know. Like, what are you going to
start a podcast?
Start a podcast, sure. Because that's what will make you feel good about yourself. People on the internet saying that,
hey, you guys, listen, speaking of a podcast, if you'd like to support this one, you should.
You should.
And you can.
You fucking pricks, I will come to your house.
Don't take that
approach.
Do you understand?
No,
don't do that approach. It does not work. It doesn't work.
Hey.
Oh, that was bullying. I get it.
That was bullying. Yes, that was bullying.
Okay, I see.
Enjoy that? Yeah, you could donate money to us directly. You could go to storywithpodcast.com and click on the donate button and just give us money.
Okay, here's an idea. If you need a website, GoDaddy is offering a new transfer.com or a domain name for only $2.95.
Right.
It's usually $15.
Right.
But right now, if you're getting a new website, you need a domain name or you want to transfer your domain name, head on over to GoDaddy.com, and when you check out, in the promo code, you write story295.
It's story295 in the promo code.
And then
that lets them know
you're supporting us.
That, yeah, we get a little taste that lets them know that it's worthwhile to advertise on this podcast because of its fine intellectual content and lack of swearing.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far.
That's GoDaddy. They like swearing.
Yeah.
They like sex and swearing and things.
All right, you guys, stay tuned because Deanna Barone is on her way here.
She's coming down the hallway.
Next time on Storyworthy, we have radio personality Gina Grad.
And I'm going to talk about how I finally found a good man.
Yeah, that's right. Next time on Storyworthy.
This is Huell Hauser, and you're listening to Storyworthy. With both ears. You can't see us. We're in your head.
And we're back. We have walked less than a quarter mile sort of up a flight of stairs and across the athletic field to Sherwood High School, which is right near Sherwood Intermediate School. And this is where I had more fun in drama club. I was not bullied in drama club. I was, yes.
Yeah.
There were many, many nerdy folks. No, we loved the theater. The theater.
You found your
not
people.
Not theater. Theater.
You found your thing.
I found my thing.
No,
and
I
then,
think that's what did
and
it.
And that actually
good.
Made – I mean, that's the only reason I could get through high school at all was the drama club.
Right.
And yet it's like it made me want even less to go to the rest of the thing. It's like I don't want to go to algebra. I don't want to do any of this other stuff. I just want to work on the shows and leave.
Marijuana is what got me through.
Yes, yes. Most people would go through the marijuana.
I'm not proud of it. It's just true.
Well, as I've told before, I only had marijuana twice in high school. Once, the first time, very late in high school, I fell asleep. The second time, gave me my first anxiety attack. Marijuana and me, they
didn't
don't mix.
Work. No, but theater and you.
Theater and me.
Just start
it's
dancing.
Fabulous.
All right, you guys. Deanna Barone is here right now. She's a storyteller and an actor and a writer and a director. Can you imagine that, Hannes?
I can't imagine it. It sounds like a lot more work than I'd be willing to do.
It's like a four. She hits you from four sides.
She's a hyphenite.
She's a hyphenite. She curates, produces, and directs the Trunk Show. Do you know
she's a curator too?
Well, that means like she puts on. I think that means like she puts on. She produces a show.
Yeah,
it's
but
a monthly storytelling event. And but now here also though she teaches storytelling classes.
She's a teacher. My God,
I know. And then
how many hats does she have?
She also directs solo artists and coaches performers through dramatic pieces. So if maybe we can get her to make you cry or something like that,
that would be pretty easy. Get a mirror.
It's interesting. All right, you guys, you can find her on Twitter at DB Storyteller. So wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for Deanna Barone.
It's the first day, eighth grade. My heart is racing, galloping, which is weird because I know everyone in my 40-person class. We've grown up together. It's just that over the summer, I've filled out a bit. I'm a year younger than everyone, but I finally have my first bra, a 28AAA. But it's still a bra, okay? I'm self-conscious and proud of my new curves. And then there's that other thing that happened over the summer when my five best friends broke up with me. They surrounded me in a circle and all pointed at the same time. It was very formal. You are not a follower. Thereby, we kick you out of our clique. That's Mimi Chachka, the leader and the most developed girl in our grade. I looked around at the other girls who were nodding in agreement with Mimi. I do follow. I'm a good follower. I tried to defend myself. No, you aren't. You follow bad. And also, Jeff Allen is mine now. So, I'm best friendless this first day of eighth grade, but that's okay because I know the other 34 people in the class. All right, there's Brian. Hi! He starts sneezing uncontrollably as he strides towards me and asks, could I have a tissue? But before I can get it out of my new navy blue JanSport backpack, he's joined a few other guys and they're all cracking up. Weird. Then through all my classes that morning, people are having sneezing fits and giggling. Did everyone come to school with a summer cold? Weird. As I walk to my locker at lunchtime, a couple other kids pass me and throw Kleenex on the floor, crumpled up, and one calls out over his shoulder, in case you need any. Huh? I open my locker and out tumble about a dozen of those soft pack puffs tissues. Very weird. Rachel, my next door locker neighbor, whispers, Mimi Chachka told everyone that you stuff your bra. She means war. Thus starts days, weeks, months of nonstop teasing, bullying, name-calling, like, hey, falsy, hey, stuffy, you're busted. Get it? Bust? Busted. And Kleenex, Kleenex, and more Kleenex. I start to wish my hay fever would kick in just so it wouldn't all go to waste. There are so many tissues strewn on the linoleum hallways, it's like walking on a cloud, but definitely not cloud nine. Everyone in class joins in, everyone, except for Rachel and a kid named Steven, who I've never talked to that much. A cacophony of 37 kids' taunts can get to you, so each night I eat dinner with my parents, get upstairs as quickly as I can, flop myself on my bed, and sob. I want to die. I know dying will be easier than being in so much pain. I could jump down that long stairway at school and crack my head open and there'd be blood and gore everywhere and that would show them. Then everyone will be sorry and they'll slip in it. But then they'll probably talk about my supposed falsies at my funeral. Not the solution. My dad notices something's wrong with me. I'd always been a real smiler and I most certainly am not now. I can't tell him the details, it's too humiliating, but he does wrangle out of me that Mimi Chachka and I have had a fight. You go tell her to jump in the lake, he advises. My dad is foreign, but he made up that accent. I will talk the way I want to talk, I am unique, he likes to say. But now he repeats, say it like this, go jump in the lake. But that won't work, I counter, no one says that. You say it with anger and focus, it will work. Believe me. I say it in my head at Mimi Chachka when I see her at school, but somehow go jump in the lake transforms itself to go F yourself. I don't swear yet. That starts in high school. But it feels good to at least think it. I know if I try to retaliate, she'll raise the stakes. She's just better at being mean. But that doesn't stop me from fantasizing about punching her in that wide womanly face of hers. I can't even do that. She's so much taller than me, I'd probably throw my arm out. I figure diplomacy might work. I get up the courage to ask Brian why. Maybe if he contemplates his behavior, he'll stop. He looks at me like I'm an idiot. It's because you care. It's too much fun to stop. My eyes tear up. See? Fun! I don't get it. So then I ask Victor, the boy I've defended against bullies for years, how he could participate. I figure I can mine for sympathy or lay a guilt trip of some sort. And he says, because for once people aren't talking about my small nostrils. My classmates continue to harass me, but it's not enough drama for them. My former five best friends start calling themselves the Devilettes in response to the 10 girls who have named themselves the Chosen. All the girls, except for Rachel and me, wear a shiny jacket now, red for the Devilettes, white for the Chosen, with the name of the gang on the back. The two cliques go at each other. The only thing they have in common is hating me. But the adults in charge can't differentiate, so we're all called into the office of the guidance counselor, who tries to put a stop to the gang war between 13-year-old girls that has sprung up at an Orthodox Jewish day school. It's hard to take the meeting seriously, perhaps because the counselor is married to the vice principal, the guy who sits on the floor to look up our skirts and hands out safety pins when he thinks our blouses hang too low. Weirdo. He's probably noticed those bullies after me, but none of the teachers have done anything about it. No guidance counselor meeting for that. If only I was part of one of those gangs. I want a jacket. I want to belong, fit in. But I'm alone. About another month of suffering, and then one random night, after a particularly long cry, I have a thought. Why do I want to win the friendship of these kids? They're just mean bullies. They're not my people. Only Rachel and that guy Stephen are worth my time. Wow. Eureka, a relief and a surprise, because it is such a simple thought, but it's taken me 3.5 months to have it. I go to school the next day, running the usual defensive maneuvers, trying to be invisible, eyes down so no one sees me, ears shut so I can't hear anything, shoulders rounded to hide my breasts, which are now a double A, still unassisted, thank you. But I know it won't work. It will be unrelenting. As usual, there'll be teasing, taunts, tissues. But there aren't. No one makes fun of me that day. Or the next day. I wonder if there's a run on Kleenex. No one's mentioning it. In the next weeks, I'm invited to a party, a sleepover. Jeff Allen smiles at me. Brian nods at me in the hallway. I stand up straight, look people in the eye again. God, if only I could bottle that epiphany and drink the elixir every time I fight myself or battle external forces. That perceptual shift, which allows you to step out of the fray and not participate at all in the war. Victim to human being. It's a miracle. A psychologist could probably figure all of it out, but what I know, what I've known since eighth grade, is I am most definitely not a follower. Mimi Chachka was right, but she can still jump in the lake.
Go jump in the lake. Oh my gosh, that was the cutest line
I'm sorry,
ever.
Where was your father from that he's...
Yeah, my dad's Israeli, but he has an amazing ear, and when he first came to the country, I heard a recording, and he had an American accent. So I asked him, why don't you speak like that? And he said, because... this is the way I differentiate myself.
I love that.
Differentiate.
But he has like its own, it's not, you can't, yeah.
Well,
you'll never know he's Israeli.
Madonna made up an accent, didn't she?
Yeah, she's from like Dearborn, Michigan.
But
now she speaks like
now
this.
Now she's English,
yeah, she's,
I think.
But she was married to that Guy Ritchie dude,
that,
right?
Oh, I see. Yeah, Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, she's lived there for years, actually.
Yeah.
When you first said that Guy Ritchie, I was thinking Ritchie somebody, but his name is Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
I just want to say that this story illustrates one of the great life lessons that I, of course, learned from Seinfeld, which is people, they're the worst. Mm-hmm. People just suck ass.
Yeah, this was a
groups
really
of people
good
story. Suck ass.
But you know what? It's more, it's like, yes, they can go jump in the lake. But yes. At the same time, I think you know, there's that whole the secret that you create your own reality. And I don't know. I think I always laugh at people who quote The Secret. So, but I'm doing it right now. I do think there's some...
I'm laughing for you.
Thank you.
At you, on
thank
behalf
you.
Of you.
But there's some element there where you... if you participate in being victimized, if you're somehow getting off on being victimized, even if it's very, very subtle, mm-hmm. you draw it to you. But it's... I mean, how can a kid figure out how to...
well, I like
how to
this
shift
story
out of
because
it.
The story is very sad. I mean, it's really heart-wrenching.
Oh, jeez.
And it is. However,
I put a couple laugh lines in there.
Well, you're
no,
able
no,
to
I
pull
know,
it around
I mean, like,
and you see it full circle and how you have to approach it. And, you know, I was thinking the way, like, that I – when I have to explain this all to my daughter, and I love that that line that you said, you know, who's worth your time? And I have to – I want to be able to explain to her that these people might be like that, but these aren't your people. You know, who are your people? And then name those people.
Right.
I mean, I don't remember my parents really ever talking to me at all, so I'm a bad example. But your father did talk to you. Did he ever say anything to you like, you know, this is very temporary?
Well, they didn't really know that I was being bullied. I was too embarrassed to tell them.
Now, okay, what about your mom? I would think that you
I didn't tell – my mom knew about – that Mimi Chachka, I've changed the name, but it's very similar. But that Mimi Chachka, she knew that we were in a fight and that I wasn't friends with the same people, but I don't, they were dealing with some other stuff, which I won't go into, but it's, so I don't know if they, had been such a socially adept person up until then that I don't think it occurred to them that I could be having a hard time.
Yeah.
And that's like another thing. I had always had friends. I never had been bullied before. So
people also secretly resent people who are successful at things.
Of course,
it's like, oh, well, finally you're at the bottom of the totem pole, so now I can
make fun of you. As soon as you rise up, right, if you rise up out of the ashes, they're going to knock you right back down.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I did
– all the internet is now is like, what?
Build them up, knock them down.
And it's like, go back up and come back down.
Actually, I saw a funny tweet the other day. It said, I can't wait for 5 years from now when all these assholes on Facebook get divorced. You know, because everybody's always posting their happy marriages.
Happy, I know. It's like, oh, God.
But I, just, yeah. I did learn a lesson, though, that is that, like, you know what? I forgot.
I think it's what we all learn as adults, which is what other people think is really pretty unimportant. When you're a kid, it's like what other people are thinking about you every minute is incredibly important.
It is, but now
I don't give a shit what people think about
me. Oh, I know. I remember now the lesson I learned. Yes. It doesn't matter how nice you are. There's always – because I was a person who defended bullies.
Yeah.
You know, I really was. Like I had grown up with somebody who had been bullied, and so I had compassion about it because I'd seen the results of it. So I – but that didn't matter, you know. And I think you have to make choices about what you do even though – you know, karma doesn't work necessarily in this lifetime. You don't necessarily.
But wait a minute, you're saying so that you.
She defended people against bullying.
I'm saying that didn't save me, but I would still do it. I wouldn't change anything. I would still defend. I still do defend people against bullying. But that doesn't mean you're going to be. That you're going to be out of the fray.
In other words, being nice isn't enough.
Being nice isn't enough, but I don't know what is. I think just sometimes you become the victim and you have to figure out in your own life how do you step away. And I, like, again, I've had to do it a number of times in my life, and each time it's like that. It's like some perceptual shift occurs miraculously.
At the last minute.
And I think, oh, why am I involved in this? I don't like these people. I wouldn't want to spend time with them.
Right.
Why am I trying to be friends with people?
Well, I have a feeling that your parents maybe also didn't know much was going on because it was such a small school and it sounds like it was sort of exclusive. So then maybe they thought it didn't happen in that setting.
They probably did. They certainly didn't know that how much sexual harassment was going on there from teachers and such.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that.
I was going to say, this is a tiny school compared to my school, which wasn't even that gigantic, but it was. There were 800 kids in my total high school. There weren't 54 kids in my class.
Right.
There had to be 100, 125,
and then all these other people.
And it's like, you knew everybody in there.
So there's still like a social structure, whether there's 40 people or 400 people, that, you know, all kind of shakes down.
It does, but I think if there's 400, you probably, instead of just me and Rachel, it would have been probably, I would have been able to find five people.
There would have been people who didn't even know who you were.
Right.
And there would have been people who didn't know who the two girl gangs, which sounds like the greatest John Waters movie in the world, by the way.
They bought jackets.
They're coming down with it.
That's hot.
Yeah.
That's kind of hot, you have to admit.
The problem with growing up
in a small town like I did, in a very, very rural place, is that I didn't know another world existed outside of that, and neither did my mother, and neither did my father. So nobody was ever able to say to me, you know, these people are a bunch of fuckheads, and you know, they're not going to ever matter in your life because you're going to go on to bigger and better things, and you're never going to see these people again. But to see where I'm from, and most of the people, all my brothers and sisters, they do all still live within 10 miles of there. So maybe, you know, that was the end of the line for them. But I feel like I'll tell my daughter if there's ever a problem that, honey, you're never going to see these people again. You know,
you live in the second largest city in the United States.
So
it's like she's going to have a certain awareness of, you know, I can move to the valley. That, by the way, Christine hates the valley.
Jesus.
When she rebels, she's going to move to like Van Nuys just to piss you off. How can you live on the other side of the hill?
Maybe she'll go to Wisconsin.
We'll meet at the observatory.
Well, I'm from Wisconsin. That's why
I know. That's why I mentioned it.
Yes. No, I know. But that makes the valley feel very homey to me.
All right.
Because right. he doesn't like palm trees. He likes it where it looks like the East Coast.
Got it. Well, yeah, or the Midwest.
Palm trees aren't native to California anyhow. That's all bullshit.
I know it is, Hannes, but isn't it a beautiful illusion just to see them swaying in the breeze?
I like it.
I like it. See, you're wrong.
I'm being bullied for my lack of palm tree love.
We've got our devilettes. We've got our devilettes.
I'm defending the elm trees. Yeah, you're the palm. You're the palmers.
But anyway, so Deanna, great story. I love it. Yeah, really great story. Thanks for bringing that to us.
I appreciate being.
So, did the other girls catch up development wise, and then everything evened out?
I mean, I was always behind. I was a year younger than everyone, so I was always behind. But as you can see, I now have breasts.
I cannot see them. I'm not looking anywhere near them. I didn't even know
you
were a woman.
All right, cool. Okay, I looked up this. I looked up something about serial killers that were frequently bullied different ways. For instance, Kenneth Bianchi, a serial killer and a member of the Hillside Stranglers, he was teased as a child because he urinated in his pants and he suffered twitching. And as a teenager, he was ignored by his peers. And he says that's why he became a serial killer.
See, or they could sense the serial killer element in him, and they didn't want him to be part of the group. That's another option, too.
But see, that always makes me think of, like, all the people who also pee their pants and twitch and were bullied and did not become serial killers. It's like I'm saying there's a limit. I mean, bullying is bad, and it can fuck people up, but if you're a killer – you're a killer. It's like I can't bully you into being a murderer.
Right. No,
well,
I know, but they're
push someone over the edge if they already have sociopathic
tendencies.
Well,
the problem is they have access to weapons.
Yeah, well, and that's so another whole debate.
But that's just it, though, is these are the kids that can now get a hold of guns.
Yeah, right. Exact guns that make it easy for you to kill people from a distance.
Oh, man.
Was like,
this
you
is
can kill
going
someone
downtown.
With a baseball bat. You can kill maybe two people
but that's
before
why,
you get what
yeah,
got to
there's
the ground.
Fewer,
you can't kill 48 people at a time from a distance.
Let's give out baseball bats
there's
to kids. Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. Just say, here.
Can we all just go back to school?
They have them. They have them.
They do have them.
But there's fewer mass murders in England because they don't have the access to the guns. There's still sociopaths who want to kill people.
Actually, I saw a fantastic
– we'll have a program, Bats, Not Guns.
Yes, on The Onion. There was the most recent shooting, and by the time this airs, I'm sure there'll be another mass shooting.
No.
But it says, the Onion headline was, "Nothing to be done about problems, says only nation where it ever happens." It's like, yeah, people don't wander in a lot of other places and kill like 40 people at a clip. That happens
in America.
In America. That's not something
like,
that happens.
And like Russia, right?
Russia, God knows what they're doing.
I have no idea. It's a good question.
Yeah, I think there are a couple in Russia
footage,
like that.
There's all this footage for like people put dashboard cams in Russia because there's so much violence among drivers.
Oh, actually did know that.
So, yeah. So like you'll see, this guy gets cut off and the guy beeps at him. excuse me. Pulls over to the side of the road. Guy gets out of the car with like a fucking machete. It starts coming toward the guy whose dashboard camera watching. It's like this happens all the time in Russia.
What Russia, I understand, is that people – it's an insurance fraud thing. People are running into other people and saying it was their fault.
Oh, jumping in front of their cars.
So it's an insurance thing. And so they're all mounting these dashboard cameras to monitor what's going on.
What is this world coming
to? And that's how when that asteroid hit last year, it came and it hit in Russia.
Yes.
They caught it in one of those dashboard cams.
Wow.
Caught that asteroid coming into Russia. It was very cool. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Oh, yeah.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
California. I was on my way to California from New York on an airplane, and I was coming here for the first time to do a movie. I was very excited. And the woman across from me was muttering to her infant, and it just seemed weird. And I peered around her, and I saw her smothering her infant with a pillow. And saying, "It's all about you. It's all about you." And this is like a one-year-old she was smothering. And I got the attention of you're not supposed to say stewardess.
Flight attendant.
I got attention of the flight attendant. and called her over, had a little secret meeting with her. They pulled her away from the kid, and I guess she was met by police. The FBI called me a few weeks later to ask me to testify because it's an international incident if you're in the air. So they were going to fly me back from New York because I already was back to New York to LA. But then I guess she ended up in a mental institution, and they didn't have to have me testify.
Wow, that's a great story. Wait a minute, why you got to blame it on California?
See, I'm always thinking, hey, a free flight back from New York, fantastic. Wow,
that's
you're a bit
crazy.
Of a drama magnet, I'm just saying.
Those are the stories to tell, right? The
was
drama
it
stories.
One of those small airline pillows?
Yeah.
That's the only reason the kid lived, is that you can't kill someone with one of those airline pillows. That's
crazy.
That's crazy.
And you're like, am I seeing what I'm seeing?
I was a flight attendant. I never saw anything like that.
Really?
I saw people doing cocaine on the exit, like on the trays, on tray tables, but I never saw anybody smothering anybody.
But did you ever?
I'm sorry. No. Go ahead. I have a story I wanted to tell.
Have you ever seen other parents like pulling their kids hard? I've seen that a few times.
Yeah, but I've seen that anyway. Outside the airplane. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's tough, boy. Being a parent, and if you see somebody freaking out in the grocery store on their kid or whatever, you just don't know what that kid did. Because I'll tell you, there are situations where you just, being a parent, the kid just drives you crazy,
yeah.
You know?
But I think the kid couldn't do anything that deserves smothering.
Well, you know, depending. No, I'm kidding.
What was the weirdest thing? Didn't you see, what was the thing where people would ask for an extra blanket on the plane?
And then the girl
would take a nap in the guy's lap.
Well, you know,
saw that
honest,
a lot,
yeah.
Right?
Well, that's kind
it's
of
hot.
A, yeah, it's
it is hot,
sort of hot,
it?
And also, you know, let people do what they need to do.
Yeah.
I think. No,
and the guy's going, it's all about you.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.
What
for
a
having
terrific
me.
Story. Both stories, really great.
I hope I'm not attracting that guy.
I'm kidding. I kid.
I'm scared now.
When's
scared.
The next trunk
Don't
show?
Don't be scared.
The next one is July 30th.
July 30th.
Yeah.
And where is it?
It's at the Elephant Theater.
Right, in the Theater Row there in Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood. It's away from Theater Row. It's about a couple blocks away from that.
Okay. It's on Melrose, right?
No, it's on Santa Monica Boulevard and Vine.
Damn, so close.
See? You're close.
Well, listen, thank you very much for coming
thank
by. We
you.
Really do appreciate it. And on behalf of everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Anthony Bench and Sean Merrick, and of course, John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Hannes, Follow Me.
Yeah, he did. And then he punched me in the face because he's a bully. He said, listen to this song. I said, I don't like it. He punched me. I said, I love it.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Deanna Barone, and of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn. Saying, make it a story worthy week. And you can follow me, follow me. I'll take you down to the river. Follow me, follow me. I'll keep you silent. Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.